On Wednesday we spoke about radical statements. I'd like today to speak about something different, and that is radical behavior. Radical behavior, thank you, means, in my opinion, when someone does something that's a little radical, and it didn't start in our generation, it's been happening for years and decades and generations, and ultimately the question for us is, how do we react? So let me give you an example, very contemporary. I'm sure you all heard of it. I'm sure you're all aware of it. Four soldiers in the middle of an army exercise or an army ceremony decide to make a demonstration against the government. Okay. That's radical behavior.
These ones are so about
Moscow. Now, they are right out of their teenage years. I can't say that God has already given them the ability to see things in a complex way. They did something radical. Many people do radical things. I know people that after their year in Israel, they come home and they tell their parents, who are Shomer Shabbos and Shomer Kashrus and Tarat HaMishpacha, I don't eat in your kitchen anymore because I don't hold the Erech Sherim. They're radical behaviors that happen. And the question is not how do we stop radical behavior that has to do with education and many other things, because I believe it's going to continue to happen, but rather, what's the reaction? Let's speak about one specific reaction that bothers me within our community. And that reaction is as follows. I think that in the last few years, we have been seeing a development in which, as long as the radical behavior has to do with something Jewish, we are going to immediately support it. We are going to say that either they are totally justified, or minimum, listen, what they did wasn't so nice, but you have to understand we're being prosecuted. We're being antagonized. It's terrible here, and therefore what can you do? Their voices were stuck in their throat. They had to scream it out. As long as it has to do with something Jewish. So, if four soldiers in the middle of an army ceremony would come out, put up a banner and says, our food stinks, I don't think any of the rabbis of the generation would come out and say, what you're doing is correct. But as long as their banner has to do with Eretz Yisrael or any of the above in between the two, we have to support it. To the extent, we have to give a kiddush when they come home, we have to dance outside the jail, and whatnot. And I'd like to explain what I'm about to say in reference to something that has happened and did happen in the Gemara, in the times of Chazal. And in my opinion, the reaction today should be like them. In Bava Basra, they talk about what happens if you find a chicken in between two chicken coops. The Gemara says, we don't know who the chicken belongs to. After all chickens look alike. They're not like human beings that are different. So, who does the chicken belong to? And what would you say? Who does the chicken belong to in between two coops? Very good, Bruce. The Gemara says the one that it's closer to. So, the Gemara gives a measure. If it's within 50 amos of coop number one, that's where the chicken goes. And if it's within 50 amos of coop number two, that's where the chicken goes. Now, this is in the study hall. They're dealing with this. That's what the halacha is. Fine. Obviously, this is within 49 amos, 48 amos, etc. Raises Rav Yirmiyah's hand. Rav Yirmiyah says, what happens if you have a scenario like this? Big deal like this. 50 amos over here, let's say. You have a chicken, and it's exactly 50 amos to each. Chicken coop number one and chicken coop number two. Who does it go to? That's the question. What do you think of that question?
I don't know. No, when you find it, watch what direction it's going to. Because at some point it won't be on the 50-yard line anymore. So let it move and then make it.
Cute. Nice. That's not what Chazal answered him in the study hall. They're in the base medrash. And they asked the question. Anyone want to guess what they answered him?
This is what they get angry at him.
They got angry at him? They threw him out.
Oh, really?
They threw him out. They said, get out of here with your stupid questions. In our language. Now, let me explain. What's a klutz kasha? A klutz kasha, by definition, is a radical kasha. the probability of it being exactly 50 within the two and the chicken's not moving, etc., is so unprobable that it shouldn't have been asked in the base measures. It's a radical question. And a radical question gets the answer, stop it. In a nice way. Get out of here. What are you kidding me for? Why are you wasting my time? Now, I want you to understand me very well. You look throughout the Gemara, there isn't an illegitimate question. When people ask very hard questions, why do righteous suffer? They ask about the ways of God. Why am I getting sick? No one ever throws them out. No one ever says, get out of here with your kofrish questions. Absolutely not.
Why in this case?
Well, why in this case? Because he was asking what Alex called in Yiddish a klotzkasha, in English, a dumb question, a radical question, and it has no place within a serious debate as to ownership of a chicken within two coops. It's a radical question. It has no place in this debate. You don't ask a what if that the probability of it happening is so far-fetched. I'd like to take that example, that model, and bring it into our world. Four soldiers have a banner, and they go ahead and decide that the best place to demonstrate against the government is in an army ceremony. An army ceremony. We spoke about Kolisha last Wednesday. I won't get into it again. Suffice it to say that when you do whatever it might be it what we're hearing now, Tag Mechir, in which we retaliate against leftists, Arabs, and anyone else that disagrees with us by hurting them physically, and be it other radical behavior, it doesn't have to do with, God forbid, hurting people, but even hurting people verbally, saying things verbally that are terrible, whatever it might be, I believe our reaction should be, forget about it. We don't deal with stupid things. We deal with real issues. Land for peace. Ma'achazim. These are real issues that are on the agenda today. Is Torah and Yirat Shamayim part and parcel of our community? That's a real issue. How is our youth turning out? That's a real issue. We have to deal with it in a complex and proper and exhausting way. But when you have radical behavior, what's happening today, in my opinion, out of a certain element of our community, is awful. And what I think is happening is as follows. The minute that radical behavior does it, not out of feeling of, I want to feel good, like the food is no good, such a complaint, or not out of their personal willingness, but rather they talk in the name of Torah or Eretz Yisrael, we have to immediately support it. We have to go out and say, these are the best of our youth. Look how much they care for Eretz Yisrael, for Am Yisrael, or whatnot. Instead of saying, this is a radical behavior, we don't like what the government's doing, we're going to fight against the government in every democratic tool we have at our disposal, from using our politicians in the Knesset to doing what I call a quiet demonstration, whatever it might be. But the fact that a radical soldier did something radical, we don't have to go out and go ahead and, boom, support him all the way. Not only is there damage done from an image point of view, I believe this is not the way we should react. Radical behavior should be called radical behavior. If you recall, this boomeranged on us many years ago, and we came out and said exactly, well, remember the Rabin assassination? Did you live through it, Bruce? You lived through it? You were here, Alex? Excuse the question, were you old enough? No. Okay. When the Rabin assassination happened, 2-3 weeks afterwards, if you walked around with a kippah tzruga in Yerushalayim, especially in Tel Aviv, and definitely in Bar Ilan, where the murderer came from, you were called what? A murderer. There was a jargon, there was a certain saying, calling, happening in Israel that year, that anyone religious with a kippah tzruga is A, a murderer, B, a racist, and C, a fascist. Why? Because there was certain radical behavior happening against the Rabin government at that time. There was a picture of Rabin with a keffiyeh, there was a picture of Rabin in Hitler's uniform, Yimach Shemo, and obviously the worst of the worst, a Jew killing a Jew. Yigal Amir killing the prime minister, and he didn't even have a kippah tzruga, he had a black kippah, but he came from the kippah tzruga world. The whole ganze olam, we're murderers. What did we say? How did the kippah tzruga world retaliate? Yes, we said we made mistakes. Maybe our rhetoric was too radical, blah, blah, blah. But he's not one of us. He murdered. Murder is out of the question. It's out of the box. He did something radical. He has nothing to do with the big, wonderful tzibur called the religious Zionist tzibur that is far from murder as I am from the moon. Right? Isn't that what we said? Weren't we going and saying this witch hunt, this terrible, terrible, terrible thing happening in which everyone is speaking against the religious soldiers is awful. You're generalizing, etc., etc. So take that same model and just switch it around. Here we are. We, in our particular tzibur, have people doing radical things. And instead of us coming out and saying these are radical people, we don't think that way. As long as they're talking in the name of Torah and Eretz Yisrael, did they shut up? Or to actually support it. Either to be quiet, not say anything. Not for a rabbi to come out and say that's radical behavior that has no place in the army, or that's radical behavior that has no place in Israel. No. We shut up. Or, the better yet, what do? We support it. We support it. What they did was wonderful. They care about Eretz Yisrael. They're full of Yiras Shamayim. There's nothing like it. And we have to give them a kiddush when they come home and whatnot. And then it's reported in the paper, so that's what happened. I feel that radical behavior should be called radical behavior. And whatever is not radical behavior, but is already a fashion, we have to deal with as a fashion. So, allow me to give you two very telegraphic examples, and I'll explain the difference. When you have a certain element going ahead and doing this Tag Mechir thing, in which they're going and hurting physically, either the property or the people that happen to disagree with them, that's radical behavior, and it should be called that. On the other hand, when you have a percentage, or a large percentage, or a mi'utin percentage, of our particular community that are turning out non-religious, or practicing, God forbid, immoral sexual behavior, whatever it is, that is a fashion, lo aleinu, rachmanu litzlan, God forbid, and we have to deal with it. And we have to deal with it. And we can't go ahead and say, we ignore it. The same way, if we have a very large percentage that is coming out religious, full of Torah and Yirat Shamayim, building beautiful homes, we have to deal with it by saying, this is terrific, this is wonderful. Look at beautiful how we have now that the army, so to speak, is amazed that the majority of the officers that are now wanting to go into combat units happen to be religious. That's a wonderful thing. We're doing something right. We're not only doing something wrong. But radical behavior should be called radical behavior. It shouldn't be justified. It shouldn't be obviously put on a pedestal. And in my opinion, at times, we should talk against it.
So who determines what's right and wrong?
I believe that on this particular issue, you can't go ahead and state so halacha doesn't state. Here, since we have no nevuah today, the only thing we have left is what? Common sense. No. Common sense. And the rabbis use common sense, and when they see that the Torah has endless isurim, chovel, hurting another person, mazik, causing damage to another person's property, obviously lo tirtzach, murder, to go out and to say, these things that are happening are against our religion. Common sense. On the other hand, when you have things that are terrific and wonderful and within the form, we can go out and support it. I think, personally, this is my personal opinion, if you do what I call a quiet demonstration, which means that if they want to evacuate a certain ma'achaz, what's a ma'achaz in English?
Outpost.
An outpost. And you sit there, and quietly, without violence, bring 50,000 people there, whatever it might be, I think that is within the world of democracy and legitimacy and morality. And if you're taken to jail, you're taken to jail. Fine. Martin Luther King was taken to jail, but look what he did. As long as there's no violence, there's no violations of halakha or morality. That's my personal opinion. People would say to me, no, the government decides that's it. I don't buy the government decides that's it. The government decides there's democratic tools we can use against the government, from courts to politicians to quiet demonstrations. But radical behavior should be called radical behavior. It should not be legitimized. It should not be put on a pedestal and say, this is terrific.
Science, what's fine?
I mean, I think everyone agrees that...
Use common sense.
Galamir is radical behavior. Everyone agrees, I guess,
has nefarious radical behavior. Holding up a sign. I would hold up a sign, but he does. I mean, like, maybe I don't agree with it, but I'm not sure if I would call it radical behavior. I'm not sure if I would go against it.
So I'd like to explain why I think it is radical behavior, even though you're not. It's not a question. No, I'll explain why. By definition, an army cannot run if soldiers will not obey orders. That's the way the army runs. The army is not a place for politics. It is not a place where you debate issues. The army is the long arm of the duly elected government of Israel to do what the duly elected government of Israel says to do. Now, if you personally feel you can't do what the government says, being it the evacuation from Gush Katif, evacuating these outposts or whatnot, there's ways to deal with that. But I don't necessarily fall off my chair if a soldier will come ahead and say to his commander, I can't do it. However, it is not a place, the army, I say, is not a place for quiet demonstrations. You don't demonstrate against the government when you have an army uniform on. Were you in the army? Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you remember the first time you got out of the army and you went to a bus station, whatever, to get home? Mm-hmm. And one of the vendors wanted to call you over to buy a shawarma? What did he call you? What's your name?
Chayal.
Eli. What did he call you?
Chayal.
Why didn't he call you Eli? Because now, at that moment, with the uniform on, when you take off your uniform, and you're a civilian, totally different world. Even in the army, if you recall, there's terms used, right? When you wear your uniform, you're wearing your uniform. When you don't wear your uniform, you wear your regular clothing. What do they call it? They don't call it regular clothing. What do they call it? La'alot al ezrachi. To put on your, in English, I think you would literally say, your civilian uniform. The army is not a place for demonstrations against the government. That's not the way a democracy works.
Although I generally agree with you, I mean, I think that the Germans said the same thing. There are people that say, listen, we're just following orders. And I'm not sure if
as usual, you didn't hear the caveat I said, 2 minutes ago. What did I say? Mm-hmm. I don't fall off my chair if a soldier says, I cannot fulfill this
order.
I can't fulfill the order.
A soldier simply saying that quietly may do nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Why not?
Because the officer may say, fine.
Wait. Now you're saying something dangerous.
So
now you're saying something extremely. Now you're saying something dangerous. What you're saying is that
I'm just not sure that what you're saying is
let's use our soldiers to overrun or to override what the government decides.
No. I mean, the government uses the soldiers to override what the population.
That's something that I personally am bothered by. The army, in my opinion, should not be evacuating Selma. The police.
So what do you do when the government does that?
Okay.
The elected government.
So what do you do as follows? I don't think it's right, but on the other hand, when it happens, you don't go ahead and make total anarchy in the army of Israel.
Why not?
For a very simple reason. If I'm your commander and I tell you we have to go right now and shoot at those Arabs, you have to run up the hill, and you're going to say, well, just like I refused the orders to evacuate the settlements, just like I refused the orders to hear the coalition, just like I refused the orders to this and that and the other thing, I'm going to refuse to run up the hill. I don't want to get killed.
What if those aren't Arabs?
What are you going to say then?
What if those are Jews?
What do you say then?
You say, wait a minute, sir.
You didn't answer my question.
Those are not Arabs. Are you allowed to question the
officer?
You did not answer my question. You have more than a few.
In the army, there is something called the Pkuda Bilti Chukit Ba. You can refuse orders and go to jail for it and then get tried. And Be'ezrat Hashem, everything will be okay when it comes out that what you did was absolutely legitimate. However, it is absolutely, in my opinion, unacceptable for a soldier, I'm not talking about a civilian here, I'm talking about a soldier. Every time a commander says something, to question it. That's not the way to run an army.
Although you're generally right, what if the night before you're told you're going to be given an order that you feel is patently illegal, and the whole group, they don't want to quietly go to their officer. They want to affect a change. Not voice a complaint.
I am against affecting that change that you're talking about when you have a uniform on. When you have a uniform off, there's a way to affect
the
change.
What's the purpose of making the complaint to the officer?
No, because what you're saying now is, let's go ahead and make a coup against the government by using our soldiers in the army against the government.
What if you think the officer's making a coup against
them? Let me ask you a question.
I'm
just going to ask you now a theoretical.
Take over country.
According to your logic, I just want to understand your logic before I respond, but according to your logic, okay, tomorrow there's elections, and a leftist government is, and the leftist government decides, amongst their new agenda, that they are going to not evacuate settlements, but ultimately take down army outposts throughout what we call Yehudan Shomor.
Let's not use a theoretical case.
No, that's not a theoretical case.
That's a real case in Syria.
So ultimately,
Syria has an army by the government. They have a free Syrian army also. Now, you're given orders to go and shoot people that the government says are terrorists. And you say, no, they're not. Those are regular people. Now, there's a machloket in the Syrian government right now, and the army is going through the whole... The army's falling apart.
Don't equate between the non-duly elected Syrian mess-up and the duly democratic...
The government will tell you that they're a government that's elected, and that's what they'll tell you.
They'll tell you many things. They can also tell me that there's a pig on the moon. I doesn't mean I have to believe
it. Well, so again, as you're saying, use your judgment where you think it's
appropriate. No. I want to explain something. I think, according to what jurist, it's a newly elected leftist government tomorrow decides that they want to host a new prime minister. The new prime minister elected, okay? And they're coming to the base, and they're asking you, soldier, to stand at attention when the prime minister of Israel comes in. You were against the prime minister. Oy, what can you do? Your election campaign didn't work. And ultimately, you tell your group, the big group in the army, right, all the thousands of religious Zionist soldiers, listen, when Tippi Livni walks into the room, everyone sit down. We're going to show. They elected the government. It makes no difference. They were elected. We can fight against it in our own ways. What do you say?
I don't think that that's an issue that there are to worry about.
I think it is an issue because what you're saying is, why don't we use our soldiers for our political agenda? And I don't think that's right. And I think a soldier should follow orders unless a soldier feels that it goes against his very conscience and essence. And then he should tell his commander, I can't do it. And if the price is you're going to be tried for doing an illegal, for not following orders, I'm willing to put me on trial. I'll go to jail for it. I'm willing to go to jail if on Shabbos you told me, hey, soldier, come here. I once had this in the army. Come here, soldier, do me a favor. It was a joke, but it was not a joke. One of the guys in the army, one of the officers in my base, wanted to always snatch me, you know. There's a saying in Yiddish. I forgot it. Anyway, the saying is, you're going to try to get me. So he says, come here a second. I need you to write down on a piece of paper that on Sunday I need to call the commander. Can you do it? I said no. And what happens if I say you just refused orders? I said, I'm willing to. You're going to tell me to Makalel Shabbos for no reason but to write down Tiskoret for you. And I'm sorry, but using my common sense, I believe that with all the Chilul Shabbos, quote-unquote, that I do in the army for what's called Bitachon Shotef, for keeping the security of Israel, which is obviously legitimized and okay, I cannot write down that on Sunday call this commander to remind him to sign a piece of paper. So he started, hey, let's say I put you in jail now. I said, I'm willing to. Put me in jail for Chilul Shabbos. I'm sorry. I'm not doing Chilul Shabbos just because you need me to write down.
That was
the end of the conversation. But I want you to understand something. If we have all the soldiers in a certain unit go up to their commander and says, listen, we cannot do this. Well, maybe someone else will do it. That's your business. I can't do it. I won't live with myself if I do this. I can't live with myself. I'm asking you to exempt me. I think it's different. You can go as a group, too.
Should take achrayut not only on himself and his own actions, but he's saying, listen, this is my unit, and it's doing this. I could easily go to my pocket and sit on the side, but I my unit, my machleka, my kuga.
I don't think the army is a place to do this. What your consideration that you just brought up is something that should be brought up outside the confines of the army. Namely, it bothers me that a group, whatever the group is deciding X about Israel, and I want to fight against it, and there's ways to fight against it. But I don't believe that the army is a place to be radical behavior. Army is a place to follow orders and to be a soldier. If and when something happens, and it's a radical case in which you certain order will go against your very essence as a Jew and as a human being, there's a way to deal with that. But I don't believe that the way to deal with it is to go ahead and to say.
You see your whole unit doing something that is completely morally wrong. You could easily sit on the side and not do it, or you could get up and try to stop
that. Again, I think that it's not the place in the army for you to effect those changes.
What if your mama is looting someone's house?
You don't do it?
You sit on the side. You don't get up and try to stop.
And there's a way to complain afterwards in the army.
What if the army is doing?
It's called the kavila. What? Doesn't work?
It may not be effective.
I can promise you it does. Right. I'll tell you a personal story. It worked.
What if the army is doing?
There's a way to deal with it. They don't like you afterwards. That's their business. There's a way to deal with it. I'll tell you true stories about kavilot that worked. The army takes it very seriously.
So you see your whole gang going and looting someone's house. You're going to sit inside and let them do it, and afterwards you're going to place a complaint. You're not going to get up and try to stop them?
You can try and stop your own fellow soldiers as long as it wasn't an order. But on the other hand, you don't go ahead and call the press about it, because not that's your job when you have an army uniform on. Anyway, to sum up, gentlemen, I don't think that every radical behavior should be legitimized just because it comes in the name of Torah and Yirat Shemayim. If radical behavior is radical, we call it radical. And therefore, that's what it should be told. Either we ignore it or fight against it. But I don't think it's right that in our community, radical behavior is beginning to become great as long as you talk in the name of Eretz Yisrael and Yirat Shemayim.
What is the army going to do?